Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew, and we are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got open lines here at the top of the hour, plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, maybe there's something that's been on your mind recently. Perhaps you heard something in church and you're just not sure about it. Well, let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. We've got open lines, plenty of room. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but you've got a new question tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number, wide open lines, very little wait, 877-655-6755. We're going to go now to Chicago, Illinois, to start off the broadcast tonight. Yvonne, you're on the air tonight. What is your question? Hi, Yvonne. Well, Yvonne, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, what's your question? Yes, what's your question tonight?
My question is, what does the New Testament say about, what is the scriptures in the New Testament about tithing and giving?
Okay. Great. A great question. It's something that we talk about often on this broadcast because, you know, it's such an important issue. I mean, you know, does the grace message, does it end when you get out your wallet? Is it one theology for living and then another theology for giving? Well, of course not. And when we look at this message of giving and money in the New Testament, we find that there's no mandate for a certain number in New Testament teaching. As we look at Romans to Revelation, you're not going to find a single passage that tells us that we have to give a required amount. In fact, tithing is an Old Testament concept. It's a law-based concept, and it was designed to fund the Levitical priesthood. And so these Levites, they didn't own any of their own property. They didn't have their own possessions like the other Israelites did. They didn't take extra work. They served exclusively as God's representatives to the people of Israel. And these Levites, that's why they received a tithe from the other tribes of Israel. Well, today we've got pastors and teachers and leaders who, my goodness, they earn extra income, whether it's at a seminary, teaching courses, or whatever it might be. They earn all kinds of extra income, and they certainly have possessions, clothing and cars and homes and all kinds of possessions. So it's really hypocritical or contradictory of any leader today to be imposing upon a congregation of Christians the idea that they need to be tithing a certain percentage when they themselves, as leaders, are not living like a Levite. So there's a contradiction in there, and, you know, there's a reason that when you survey every New Testament letter, every single epistle written to a New Testament church, there's not a single mandate anywhere in there. There's not a single instruction for New Testament believers to tithe a required 10%. Instead, Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells the Corinthians something very different. He says, give freely, from the heart, not under pressure, because God loves a cheerful giver. So you'll notice he says not reluctantly, then he says not under pressure. So it's this unusual third motivation. If I'm not being pressured and if I'm not reluctant, then what is it? Well, it's heartfelt, it's genuine, it's real, it's God-driven, it's Spirit-led. And that is the truth about New Testament giving. So New Testament giving and New Testament living, they are both coming from the same place as Christ in you motivates you. That's what it's all about from start to finish. So I know that many, many churches have opted for quoting out of Malachi chapter 3 and saying that, you know, you're going to be blessed if you tithe. Well, Malachi 3 is talking about tithing grain. It's about giving food and putting food in the storehouse for the Levites so that they can eat. And that's the context of Malachi 3. And it's very interesting that some sort of quote one portion of Malachi 3, but then they refuse to quote the rest of it. And as they do that, they're cherry picking out of Malachi 3 and ignoring the fact that there's a curse in there too. Not just a blessing, but a curse. And you know, we Christians, we're not cursed. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's what Galatians teaches us, that we're not under the law, we're not under the curse of the law. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. Now, you know, Jesus made it as clear as possible in Matthew 23:23. He said that, you know, as he was chastising these Pharisees, he said, "You tithe your dill and your cumin and your spices, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law." So what does that tell us? Jesus taught that tithing was a matter of the law. Tithing is a matter of the law. And Jesus' point was, here you are, you're doing your tithing, but you're neglecting the weightier matters of the law. That means that tithing is a lesser matter, a lighter matter of the law. There are lighter matters and weightier matters. And those Pharisees were all about doing the lighter matters, and they were neglecting the weightier matters. Well, what about us? Do we have to worry about the matters of the law? Of course not. We are free from the law, not under the law. Anyone who is led by the Spirit is not under the law. So, long story short, Yvonne, I mean, we are not obligated to keep a 10% tithe. In fact, when you do the mathematics on that tithe in the Old Testament, it was way more than 10%. Many believe that it hovered around 20 or 21% when you actually added everything up. So the idea that it was 10% is not exactly accurate anyway. Nonetheless, you know, you go through the New Testament and you see a totally different motivation for giving. Give freely from the heart, not under pressure, not reluctantly. And then Paul tells the Corinthians to give out of their excess. Give because they have an abundance and somebody else has a need. So this idea that we often hear in popular teaching, this idea of give until it hurts, give until it hurts, well, that's the polar opposite of what God is actually saying to us. In Corinthians, he's saying give out of your abundance. Give because you see that there's a need, and when you have extra to supply that need. So that's the true motivation for giving. And lastly, let me just say, you know, I've heard a lot of teaching on this, and people try to smooth this over and ignore the reality of grace giving. And they say, well, yeah, we're under grace, but, you know, tithing is the starting point. Tithing is the minimum. We should give over and above our tithe because we're under grace. So they're teaching that tithing is the starting point. Well, is that true? Is grace stricter than the law? You know, tithing is not the starting place any more than avoiding pork is the starting place. Are we taught that we should avoid pork? And then that's just the starting place. Now make sure you avoid other foods too, because grace is greater than law. You know, that's like saying, well, we shouldn't work on Saturday. That's the starting point. And then we should make sure we have a Sabbath on all the other days, too, because, you know, one day of Sabbath was just the starting point. While this sounds pithy and people can make a career out of it, I mean, the bottom line is it's not biblical. Tithing is not the starting point for a New Testament believer. We really are free. See, under that philosophy, it would be a fake freedom. Oh, you're free. You're free to give as long as it's at least 10%, because that's the starting point. See, that's not an authentic freedom. That's a fake freedom. That's a false freedom. The reality is that when Paul said, give freely from the heart, not under pressure, he really meant it. And God can afford for us to be motivated by his Spirit. And so it's free for us. You know, we can give 3%, or we can give 12%, or 4%, or 20%, or we could take a month off because we can barely feed our family and we don't have that excess. It's not about a number. It's about a heartfelt desire to support the gospel message and get it out there so that even more people can hear the good news of God's grace. So grace giving is the very same as grace living. The theology does not change when we get out our wallets. Yvonne, I hope that brings clarity to you, my friend. Appreciate your call tonight. Feel free to reach out to us again anytime. We'd love to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to New York, and we'll talk with Bob. Hey, Bob.
Yes, Andrew. I'm a first-time caller.
Great, great.
I love your show. I have a very close Jewish friend who I asked last week if they believe in Jesus Christ. And he said no, because they don't believe that he was the Messiah. Well, if Jesus is the only way to get into heaven, does that mean my friend and all the Jews of today will not see heaven? I will hang up and let you answer. I love your show. And God bless you, Andrew. You're wonderful.
No, thank you, Bob. Thank you. Great to hear from you. Yeah, I mean, Bob, you know, it's not about a race of people geographically or nationally today. So, you know, your question is, are all Jews saved or are all Jews unsaved? We can't go there. We can't lump everybody together because God's not looking at a bloodline. He's not looking at geography. He's not looking at nationality. He is looking at hearts that have responded to the gospel message. And so you think of the epistle to the Hebrews. It was written to Israel. It was written to Jews. And the message in the book of Hebrews is this: today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So that's the message. It is so near everyone. I think of Romans, where it says, you know, the Jews, if they don't believe, they're broken off. They're broken off from the tree of God. You know, the lineage and the heritage don't mean much if you're going to reject Jesus. So yeah, you might have had the prophets, and you might have had David and Moses and Abraham, and you might have all of that Old Testament history and that lineage and that heritage. But if you are going to hear the message of Jesus Christ and then deny that he is Messiah, well, you're not going to find forgiveness outside of Christ. You're not going to find new life outside of Jesus. So it makes no difference whether a person is a Jew or a Gentile. The nationality, the bloodline, the heritage is of no consequence when it comes to this gift of salvation. That's why Paul can say there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. We are all one in Christ. And circumcision or uncircumcision, they don't matter at all. The only thing that matters is a new creation. So that's the message of the gospel, is that we're saved by grace through faith. And for the Jewish mind, they are condemned under the law. And for the Gentile mind, they are condemned under the conscience. So whether it's Moses killing you through the law, or if it's just your conscience killing you, the point is both of those approaches Both of those show us our spiritual death and our need for new life. And so if a Jewish person changes their mind about Jesus and decides to invest in him and believe in him and trust in his death and resurrection, they are saved. That's all it takes. And the requirement is the same for the Gentiles. So that's why your question can't be answered by just simply labeling an entire people group saved or unsaved. God is looking at individual hearts. He is certainly not looking at bloodline, lineage, or heritage. His only question is, how have you responded to the death and resurrection of my Son, Jesus Christ? That's what matters most. Appreciate your call today, my friend. Reach out to us again anytime. We'd love to hear from you. All right, well, that number, 877-655-6755. We've got open lines right now, plenty of room for you tonight. If you've got a question ready, well, tonight's your night. Very little wait, 877-655-6755. We're going to go now to Ontario, and we'll talk with Randy. Hey, Randy.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, go
okay,
for it.
I hear a little blurry on my phone, but that's fine. I have a question that I've always wanted, pondered, and heard read in the Bible, too, that the truth will be told to the entire habitat earth, and then the end will come. Does that end mean the end of society, the end of, like, what life, what would it be the end of?
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, Randy, when we talk about the end of the age or the end of time, or we talk about God's plan for the future, I mean, you know, that can be summed up in this, that there's a new heaven and a new earth, and everything that you see is going to pass away, and you'll get a resurrection body. I mean, there's a lot here, and many Christian teachers like to talk about timelines. I don't get into the details of a timeline. That's not my thing, and I've seen far too many teachers that I grew up listening to. They ended up with egg on their face by trying to make predictions and put timelines to it. But the bottom line is that there's going to be a rescue, that we believe Jesus Christ brings us a rescue. And in so doing, we get a new resurrection body. And so, you know, it matches who we are at the core. You've already, you know, if you're a born-again person, if you have Christ living in you, then you're already new at the core. You've already got that new heart. You've got a new spirit. You've got God's spirit living in you. But I don't know if you've noticed, but this flesh and bones part of us, it is decaying. Paul says the outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed. We're learning and we're growing in our inner man, our inner self. But the outer self or the outer man is decaying. So that's why we can look forward to a new resurrection body to replace this current body. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And as you look at Revelation 20 and 21 in particular, you see that this new heaven, this new Jerusalem, this holy city comes down out of the sky, and there's just a grand celebration at the end of the age, and there's punishment for Satan and all of the demons that followed him. They are punished eternally in the lake of fire, and then there's a celebration for the bride of Christ. And so what is it? Well, it's the end of tears. It's the end of sorrow. It's the end of sickness. It's the end of death. It's the end of sin. And it's eternity with Jesus himself and seeing God face to face. So much to look forward to. That's what it means to face the end of the age, the end of time. And with the sound of that trumpet and the rescue that Jesus brings, we get new heaven, new earth, and new resurrection bodies as well. So I hope that helps clarify and encourage you tonight, my friend. Thanks for your call. Reach out to us again anytime. We'd love to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to Atlanta, Georgia, and we'll talk with Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan. How are you?
Hi, Andrew. It's actually Alberta, Canada, but thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, yes. Go for it, Jonathan. What have you got for us?
I'm a born-again saved Christian. I've got tattoos, and I would like to get more, but I'm wondering, what does the Bible say about tattoos?
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting because the only Bible verse that you're going to see about tattoos is in the Old Testament, and it's in Leviticus. I have a good friend in Canada, Bruxy Cavey, who is the pastor at the Meeting House Church in the Toronto area. And, you know, on his arm, he has a tattoo, and the tattoo is a word. It's a verse, a reference to Scripture. And on his arm, he has printed Leviticus 19:28. And people will ask him, what is Leviticus 19:28? Why did you get a tattoo of that on your arm? And he says, oh, yeah, it's the verse about how you can't have tattoos. Well, that creates a conversation. This pastor has a tattoo of Leviticus 19:28 on his arm, and that's the passage that says you can't have tattoos. What is up with that? Who does this pastor think he is? Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's a guy who knows the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And what an incredible tool that tattoo has been for him. Because it begs questions. It starts conversations. It causes people to have to wrestle with what covenant are they under. And if we're going to submit to Leviticus 19:28 as if we're under it, as if we have to obey it, well, then we'd better fish through Leviticus and find dozens and hundreds of other regulations. In fact, who are we to just pick Leviticus? We really need to be going through the entire book of the law, the first five books, the Torah, and accumulating 613 regulations to follow. Because the law is an all-or-nothing proposition. That's the truth about the law. James says if you keep the whole law and you stumble in just one point, you're guilty of breaking all of it. And Galatians says, cursed is everyone who is under the law. Cursed is everyone who does not obey everything written in the book of the law. So the law is not a multiple choice option. It is not choose your own adventure. You're either under the law, and that is all of it, or you are under God's grace. So the reality for you, my friend, Jonathan, as you think about your tattoos, I would say this. Know your freedom in Christ, that there is nothing prohibiting tattoos under the new covenant, and that's where you live. You live on this side of the cross. You live on this side of the resurrection, and you are free. This could be like that meat sacrifice to idols type issue for some people. It's an issue of conscience, and you know, you can't control what other people think of tattoos, but you can have a biblical, a scripture-based opinion on tattoos yourself. And what we learn is that you have freedom in this area. So use godly wisdom, enjoy your freedom, you know, be of sound mind, and make sure that you're putting something on your body that you're going to want there 40 years from now when you're on your deathbed. And make sure it's something that you want to share and communicate with the world around you on a daily basis if they're going to see it. So use common sense, use godly wisdom, but certainly recognize your freedom in Jesus Christ. So that's my take on it, Jonathan. Appreciate your call tonight, and reach out to us again anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Well, it's been a great night. I've enjoyed discussing these various issues and how it all comes back to understanding what it means to live under God's grace and understand what the cross means and what the resurrection means in terms of our new identity, the fact that we have a new heart, we've got God's Spirit living in us, and we're living in an age of grace where all of our sins are taken away. So much to celebrate in Jesus.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.